7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome to this week's edition of Skip the Tutorial, number one video game podcast in 2019. I'm one of your hosts this week, Bryant Hugo Daniels, and joining me across the universe on Skype is none other than Todd Dante Fortner. What's going on, man?
I don't know, man. It's first time in a long time I haven't seen you on a video. I don't know what the hell you're doing on the other side of the universe over there. And this is just, you're going to choose the top seven game of the years to pull this off on me. All I see is your professional murderer face. But it's still.
See, I'm just trying to get a proper angle where I don't have to wear pants.
Like, nah, I can't. That's what I can't even see the video anymore. All I see is your profile picture where you look like a French assassin.
A French assassin? Holy shit. Hey, la mon ha. Hey, la mon hon, I got knives. Is that French? I think it's
sounded,
French.
That sounded like Mongolian.
Mongolian?
Maybe you're ancestor of Genghis Khan.
It's my warrior spirit.
He had a lot of children, I hear.
I think he did have a lot of children.
He's responsible for oxygen getting higher in the world because he killed so many people. And brought back forestation.
Bring back Genghis Khan.
Vote in 2020 for Genghis Khan.
I want Genghis Khan back. He was a good man. No, I don't know much about Genghis Khan. However, he seemed pretty dope. Like, he was a warrior. He was a beast. I mean, I'm pretty sure he was a piece of shit. He killed a lot of people. But maybe it was in maybe he just loved trees, Todd. Maybe he loved trees, and he said, there's too many fucking people, and I've got to kill the people because they're killing my trees. And I love my trees. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I felt when I started thinking about how I was a part of starting a show like this. But no, he didn't have anything to do with the trees. He was just worried about killing and fucking. He was like Conan.
Okay. I like Conan.
I guess. I don't know. Like, not Conan O'Brien. Conan O'Barbarian. Like, I know. Exiles.
Is Conan O'Brien all about killing and fucking too? And we just don't know.
Probably fucking so. Probably so. Conan O'Brien is the American Psycho.
Perfect.
That's how I ended up on Death Stranding. I love Conan O'Brien, man.
Me too.
He's one of my favorite. In the year 2000.
It's an old school reference. Speaking of old school references, you were talking to your girl this morning. We started talking about Tom Green, and we've gotten to a point where nobody remembers Tom Green. And I think we should do a Tom Green dedication show at some point in the future, because I still love me some Tom Green.
He was just recently in, I forgot the name of the fucking show, so I shouldn't even talk about it, but I just saw him in a Netflix, like, sci-fi movie.
Really?
He's playing a fucking, I don't remember the name of it. I have to go back. If people want to know, like, I'll figure it out later. But, yeah, he's playing, like, a preacher, though, and it's in the house of Apple. So, like,
holy
in the future,
crap.
It's like, Apple has become a religion. Like, everybody's connected to their phones and shit. And he's a pastor in the motherfucking church. It's fucking ridiculous. It's classic Tom Green. It's sad that he lost the ball, but I'm glad that he's still alive. What are we talking about this week again?
Oh, yes. We are wrapping.
I'm over here.
Sorry. First of
Tom Green's one ball.
He filmed that surgery. So if this is your first time joining us, we are a video game show. Me and Todd get together every week and we talk about video games, what we've been playing, the news and the round table, a subject of our choice, and sometimes we can break down a top seven. This week we are wrapping up 2019. We are talking about, and this should be no surprise to anybody, Todd, what are we talking about this week?
Top seven games of 2019. Everybody's doing a list. We are following the wave, baby. Doing a trend. But you know how we do it. You know, these are like just our favorite games. We're just two guys that fucking have a video game podcast at an unreasonable age and work full time. So there you have it. So please, you know, don't expect anybody to just agree with my list. Have your own list. In fact, we look forward to other people's lists during this time. But yeah, this is the end of the year kind of rizap up with our favorite games.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we got some responses for some of the tribe members who told us their favorite game of the year, including old Dewey over there, man, telling us Pokemon Sword and Shield, his favorite game of the year, and Raleo saying Death Stranding was his favorite game of the year. So we'll talk about a little bit of that. We got some awesome runs. But Todd, what is the most important number one rule of Skip the Tutorial that people who first time listening should know?
We talk about whatever the fuck we want. If you didn't notice by the Conan O'Brien loves to fucking kill conversation we had earlier, I mean, it just goes where it can go, man. It just goes where it could go. So if you've made it this far, thank you. We probably, you know what, we got an iTunes winner. Do you want to talk about that now and get that out of the way? I know we didn't discuss it before we started recording.
We do. We got an iTunes winner for the $35 gift card all the
Amazon.
Way. Amazon. Step on this, wrote us an iTunes review. Step on this. He said, when these two guys, or she said, when these two guys get together for a podcast, three things are destined to happen. Number one, you will laugh. Number two, they will laugh. Number three, everyone will learn something. Truly the best choice to get real, legit commentary on the world of gaming, sprinkled with reflection on the world in general. These guys are legit gamers, yet their insight into the games they talk about is very personal and raw. You learn so much more about the true essence of a game than you'd get from a cookie-cutter blurbs you get online. Plus, you get the huge bonus of a real back-and-forth that feels like you're having a conversation with a couple of your funny friends, but still in a deep and intelligent manner. I laugh so hard while listening in the gym that I get the what's wrong with this asshole look on the regular. And I'm pretty sure the gym patrons think I'm loony and keep their distance because of it. Just flip them on when you get a moment and you'll be hooked. Trust me, I was. Thank you, Step on This. Thank you. I want to make people look crazy.
Yeah, look. It's humbling hearing that review. So thank you very much. You
it really
35.
Was.
I mean, that was just a nice, I mean, it's hard. Some of them just like, really? But one person has already admitted to saying that we've assisted in fucking up a hernia already. And this guy, we are helping to make a social pariah. So welcome. Like, you are core level STT tribeman. And I look forward to, you know, whatever trinket you're able to purchase with your Amazon gift card, sir.
Yes, absolutely.
Or ma'am.
Sir or ma'am. So to get your gift card, email us at
skipthetutorialpodcast@gmail.com. Is this one of them pronoun things I don't know nothing about? Is it who? What's his name?
Well, it's Step on This, so I'm not sure.
I'm sure that's a dude.
Possibly.
Maybe there's a lady around. Hold on. The name is Step on This. In your opinion, is that a guy name or a lady name, Sarah? Gender neutral? Damn it, you're right. Okay, you're right.
I was thinking of the movie Step Up to the Streets, which I love. I love that dance at the end. I just admitted a secret, a very dark secret on air. I love the Step Up movies. I don't care. The dancing is fun.
It's a dance movie?
They're dance movies.
The only motherfucking dance movie I respect is Electric Boogaloo.
Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo. It's a classic.
Damn, I forgot we was recording, bro. What the shit? Okay, hold on. Let me center it again. My bad.
All right, we'll get back to it. If you haven't seen Breaking 2, we're going to do an episode on that in the future. We're going to review Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo, the movie that is responsible for my 7-year-old self trying to learn how to break dance and nearly breaking my damn neck. So, I love Electric Boogaloo. But yes, we are talking about the top 7 games of 2019 as our personal choices. Personal list this week. First, I want to send a message out to the tribe, Todd, before we get started. Thank you, guys. Really, I mean, just legitimately, thank you so much for making our 2019 what it was. We had a big year this year with you guys. The Facebook group is growing. The Discord is always on point. We pay attention. I know we don't always get in there, but we are watching. However, what I wanted to say is there's much tribe love going around, and you guys are spreading the love, and we want to keep doing that. That's the tribe way. That's the STT way. Keep it real, but keep it real. Keep it honest, but keep it in a heart of charity. So that's what we're doing in 2020, keeping that going into the future. So just thank you for making my year great, Tribe. Seriously. Without you guys or Todd, my year would have been completely different. So thank you so much from the bottom of my heart to the Tribe and you, Todd. You. I just wanted to say thank you, sir. So,
man, thank you, brother. You already know I couldn't have said it better. I mean, I don't want to overtalk that. I need to let that breathe. I also did want to say that I believe Footloose is a movie about sexual repression.
It is. And, the dancing was meant to be fucking. That's what that... The metaphor's so clearly on top. It's dirty dancing and Footloose. It was about fucking. It wasn't about dancing. Let's just be real honest for a minute.
Right. So yeah, games, man.
that was a good transition.
I'm just saying, we can go ahead and get through this one. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I don't know if people are tired of the games of the year thing, but glad Dewey and Riley are always gonna show up.
Absolutely.
You know, shout out to them. Well, I did want to kind of do this a little bit backwards. Normally, we do our list first and then do also runs. I think it's important for me to do, also runs. I don't even like to say that first on my end, just because of the scope and level of the games, because a lot of these games really could be considered the game of the year, you know.
Yeah, I've got the same thing.
But for whatever reason, either I didn't finish the game, or it's mostly because I didn't finish it. It's sad how many games I haven't finished. As many games as I have finished, it's kind of surprising, but it's sad how many I haven't, especially the better. A few of these games that I just want to get knocked out and show proper respect up front before I get into my list and Brian gets into his list is, number one, probably the one RPG I really need to finish and get into is The Outer Worlds. That shit is dope as fuck. Resident Evil 2, dope as hell. I think it was on my list for top 7 games of the year so far. But honestly,
yeah,
you know, I didn't fuck with it enough, and it's not a long enough game for me to not have finished the remake for me to actually put it on the list. If it was like a 30-40 hour fucking game and I made 28 hours of it, maybe. But Death Stranding, still the most interesting experience I've had so far ever. I think we talked about it earlier. The reason why it was hard to get back into it, too, is because it's not a digital disc, sadly said. And I'm too fucking lazy as a human being to get up and press a goddamn button to spit a disc out and put another disc in. I'm just like, nah, I have a digital version of Call of Duty. So, Death Stranding. But as far as music, setting, graphics, interesting, different, groundbreaking, new IP, Death Stranding is dope. So, like, anybody that has that is game of the year, I can dig. Sekiro, clearly, that's borderline masterpiece level stuff. Gears 5, I really enjoy this year. Really enjoy, especially on PC and with my souped-up headset. Like, it felt great. It feels good. I really enjoy that game. Apex Legends, for sure. I could see how for some people that just is game of the year, you know, battle royale, free to play game that was very well done, Respawn amazing, and surprisingly Control, I got that one. It's not my type of game, bro, but I see why everybody is digging it. Like, the ambiance in it so far, the graphics are dope. I don't know, man. Like, I can't knock anybody from my limited experience with the game. Like, I got it. Thank God for that sale. I'm glad I got it on sale, but I mean, I haven't. It's some weird kinky freaky shit that's going on in there. I know you like CTR. I actually went back and kind of checked that out a little bit because I played Trasonic. Division 2, kind of just to talk about, but those are kind of side games, and of course Anthem, the best game of the year.
Anthem, the greatest game of the decade.
Of course, it is the most disappointing game of the year, but I got on there recently. They put Christmas lights on the tree. In fact, the homie sent me the Merry Christmas Freelancer screenshot of it, and it was dope. The one game, too, I wanted to talk about, that the game I think I missed this year was Ace Combat 7. I still fucking didn't get Ace Combat 7.
And I heard great things about Ace Combat 7.
Right, right. Oh, yeah, and Borderlands 3. That was another one. That was another one that, I mean, it's definitely worth noting this year. So I just wanted to address those up front, get that out of the way. So once we get through the list, you know what I mean? It's worth discussing them first, because honestly, my list, I looked at it, I was like, oh, okay, this isn't necessary. Like, if you want a general list of games that are just objectively set up amongst all content creators, and this is what you want to spend your $60 on, that is a good list of its own. My list, it's very personal to me. So yeah.
I'm with you. But anyway, same way. I've got some also runs. Just to kind of put this up front, I beat every game I'm going to talk about except two, which are on my top seven that I played quite a bit of. So I have enough into those games that I felt comfortable putting them on there. But some also runs for me: Slay the Spire. If you haven't played this and you like deck building games, or you like interesting mechanics or interesting combinations, Slay the Spire is a great deck building game, independent. It's on Xbox Games Pass. It's on PlayStation 4, PC, Xbox, and I believe the Switch, which would be really the perfect place to play it. It's got great art, great work, great combat. I really love that game, and I'm not a huge deck building fan. But this is the one that sparked my interest in it. Tetris 99, a battle royale we didn't know we wanted, didn't know we needed, and I had to uninstall from my Switch because I was spending so much time playing Tetris 99. Metro Exodus, I really enjoyed. I like that kind of where they did the semi-open world feel to it. The storyline was... I enjoyed the story, but I didn't enjoy the gunplay. So the storyline of Metro Exodus, I like it as a wrap-up to that trilogy, the way they take those characters, they take those directions. Void Bastards, a roguelike first-person shooter with comic book style, which totally, I promise you, if this would have been a different type of year, that would have made my list altogether. Outward was an interesting game. Outward was an interesting RPG. I didn't beat this one. I played this one quite a bit with Bootius Bob. But this one was, I wasn't able to finish it, but it had a surprising amount of depth to the combat and the build. Katana Zero, we talked about that earlier this year. Katana Zero is a great little indie game available on the Switch and the PC. I like that one. Mortal Kombat 11. I'm not a big fighting game fan, but I had to mention it because the storyline in Mortal Kombat 11 was so batshit, and the freaking fatalities. I spent enough time and a lot of time just doing those fatalities in the tower over and over. Pit Cross, that's my grandma game. I love Pit Cross. I'll buy every time an iteration of that comes out, but it couldn't make my list because generally the mechanics stayed the same. They tried something new with the... adding the color blocks to it this year and making the puzzles a little bit more interesting, but it just wasn't enough. A Plague Tale. I talked the shit about that one. Last year we had horse balls with Red Dead 2. This year we had pig balls with the Plague Tale. Outer Wilds. Outer Wilds was a fun exploration game. Independent, very charming. Persona Q2, which came out for the 3DS this year. Actually the only 3DS game that I really fucked with it all this year. Bloodstained. I liked Bloodstained. It just got a little bit too easy, a little bit too quickly. Crash Team Racing. We talked about that one. Crash Team Racing was a good remake. Link's Awakening. Really enjoyed that one. However, it did become kind of a grind and slog towards the end. And I'm rethinking my statement when I said I enjoyed it more than Breath of the Wild. The Outer Worlds I liked, but it did outlast its stay for me. And then last also run was Kingdom Hearts 3, because simultaneously fuck that game and I love that game. It's like a very bad relationship with Deadeye Goofy trying to find the hidden bodies in his closet. But that is my also runs.
It's me with 2K and Madden, bro. It's me with 2K and Madden. I get it. I still might want to try Kingdom Hearts 3, man.
It's a game that was 12 years too late. So I'll put it like that. It was just 12 years too late.
Like, but finding out you had a baby.
There are moments in that game were incredible, though. Yeah, I'm still waiting on that call one day. But Todd, why don't you get us started with your number 7 game of 2019?
Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3.
There it is.
I went back and forth on this one. I even pulled it out again last night before we recorded. The reason why I got knocked down for me a little bit, I believe, was because I really didn't go back to it as much as I thought I would. I mean, part of that is the nature of what we do and how we do it. You know, because I'm the history of it. I've been playing games for 178 years. So some, and I got used to like being able to play a game at a certain level, working at fucking GameStop for a while, to where at least I could speak to it to customers and shit like that. And some of these games are not like every game isn't groundbreaking. You know what I'm saying? So if it's a game that just connects with me to where I'm even driven to beat it now, I gotta give it kudos and credit. And when I was playing this game, like, I've had a lot of fun. And even going back to it, even though it didn't have the staying power and the replayability I was hoping to have from it to go back to my Switch, because that's primarily what we talk about. Anybody that listens to us knows, like, I primarily am on PS4 or my Switch. You know what I mean? Xbox, I don't even own. I use my PC for that. But for this year, for my experience, man, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 just scratches an itch that I personally enjoy. You know, I'm a huge comic book fan nerd too, like as far as Marvel and everything else. And I might as well start off my list with you know, something that's run by Disney since they're trying to take over the world. But yeah, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, man. I enjoy it. It's just the kid in me, man. There's a lot about that game that I had fun with. May not be everybody's cup of tea, but for me, it was an enjoyable experience this year. So that's my number 7.
I love that choice, especially knowing you the way that I do, and just knowing the fact that Marvel Ultimate Alliance, we talked about that game quite a bit before it was coming out, and I'm just glad that it got its due. It at least somebody is talking about that game. So, because
speaking of a game that's 12 years too late, though, too, that's a big part of the issue with the game. I think it did, like, we're not gonna sit here and critique it, but it is one of those situations where some of the previous games, I mean, it's 2019, they're comparable to this game, you know what I mean? But I saw the idiosyncrasies in it, and I was just glad that it came out. Hopefully they could build upon it. And if I'm going to be honest, part of this is built into how much I've enjoyed my Switch experience when I've had a chance to, like, really delve into that, being able to play between my TV, bring it up where I want to bring it with the mobile experience. So I just, it's more of a paying homage to that. But yeah, that's my number 7, my friend. My number 7.
Excellent. My number 7 is Apex Legends. Apex Legends is my number 7. I spent a lot of time with this game this year. A lot of enjoyable time. Now, the reason that it got knocked down so far on my list versus the other games on here is because part of the time that I spent with that game was the community, enjoying playing with you and playing with Bob and playing with Big Willie and just talking trash and having a fun time. And it almost became the game to keep my hands busy while I was just talking with my friends. And that was it. I was just talking with my friends. I do think that they made a battle royale that was a great mix between a Call of Duty and an Overwatch with that battle royale style, and the team aspects were really clever, and the pinging system was really incredible, and the sliding and the movement and the controls and just knowing your build and knowing your main play. But it did get knocked down so far because there were still some loot box issues. I didn't care for the new map as much as I liked the original map when they updated that. The characters they added for me didn't necessarily add much to the game. And, you know, the season pass, the battle pass, is what they call it. But the battle pass itself wasn't necessarily worth the investment for me. Now, that being said, it was a free game, so I understand that. However, if I'm looking at the games I really enjoyed for their scope, for the actual game itself, Apex Legends got knocked down because of that, but it is still my number 7, and I really enjoyed my time with Apex Legends this year. Todd, what is your number 6?
Mortal Kombat 11, man. You know, I do enjoy fighting games, so for me, and maybe it's the thing, it's like, man, fuck that. I got to put a fight game on my list. Last year was DBZ or Dragon Ball FighterZ or FighterZ. I actually just recently re-downloaded that. I need to holler at Rudy about that shit. But Mortal Kombat 11, man, I enjoyed the story. I enjoyed the way they reworked the storyline and reworked some of the canon in it and kind of reset everything. And just the options between being able to play through different people, even though it was, you know, pretty much cosmetic feeling as far as like it really didn't change the story in the end. But yeah, just this game is on the list because it's kind of funny. Like people, the whole skip the tutorial name, how it came to be about. It's not like we really, you know, we're just kind of childish. I mean, we still do tutorials and sometimes, you know what I'm saying? And this game though has like the best fucking tutorial of any game ever.
Just so, gonna like, say that. I love really that tutorial does. System. Like,
it really does. It really does. And then I mean, I'm a Mortal Kombat fanboy as well. And I just believe it's probably the best Mortal Kombat game I've played in a decade.
I would agree with that. It's a great freaking game. The combat feels it feels satisfying when you pull a move off. It really does.
And I think it kind of got buried in some bullshit with some of the tomb issues or whatever, and it's an early in 2019 year game. Excuse me. So people, I can understand it not being on anybody's radar or fucking with it, but when I really think about it and I thought about it, I'm like, nah, man, this year I got to give much respect to my beloved Mortal Kombat 11. It's one of the original games that really made me a full-time, lifetime gamer, and I was happy that they kind of went back to their roots and reinvented the whole shit. Built off of like the previous Mortal Kombat was good. The last couple of Mortal Kombats were good. Like I don't want to shit on them completely, but they built upon that and made it even better. You know what I mean? So it's the game that I spent the least amount of time with on my top seven list. I wish I had more time to spend with it. I definitely spent more time with Dragon Ball because that shit I still love. That is up there with one of my favorite fighting games, period, ever, period. But Mortal Kombat 11 this year is my number six.
That is excellent, excellent choice. Mortal Kombat 11, I love that game. That is one of those fighting games that brought me out to actually play because it was Mortal Kombat and it was back and the fatalities looked so amazing. And they were amazing. I'm just going to say, my favorite fatality of that entire game was the puppet fatality from Johnny Cage. Holy shit. That was just stunning that they did that.
I actually did like that in the story itself, though. The whole, you know, Johnny Cage, Mary.
Oh, Johnny Cage. And then the Johnny Cage talking to Johnny Cage.
Right, right. It was fucking, it was just well done, bro. It was just well done. So that is definitely my number six this year. Personal favorite game.
Man, I am 100% with you on that. My number six this year was a game I played late in the year, and I'm still playing and still trying to beat, but it's from Sega, and it is Judgment. Judgment is my number six. There's something about... Okay, so I've never played a Yakuza game. I never have. However, getting into this game, learning the combat system, the detective story, the idea that you're running around trying to basically solve this murder for the police of the killer, the serial killer you called the Mole. It's called the Mole. Just the different things you can do in this game. The detective mode, the telling mode, the actual part where you're interviewing people and you're interrogating them and you're showing them evidence and then you bust into some kung fu combat where you're trying to take down these guys with swords and you've got nothing but your skills. It's very much a reminder for me of why I love Batman. And it's almost, I love the Batman games, but I love the aspect of this game itself. The city feels so vibrant and alive. The storyline is actually interesting and they do these little ticks in the storyline because you're playing a detective who's a former attorney who's been disgraced, where they put these little film noir elements into it too, and it feels like I'm playing a serial from the 1930s or I'm playing an episode of Law and Order that's actually good. It's an actually good version of that game. The fact that between chapter breaks in the game, it does a last time on Judgment. So it gives you a run through like you'd be watching a television show. It's such a clever game. The arcades, the characters, the different ways that you communicate with people. One of my favorite missions so far was you're trying to track down this guy and he's a gigolo. And so you're trying to track him down and you talk to different women and you start talking about how, hey, you know, I'm looking for so-and-so. I heard he's on a date. Well, I was supposed to meet him. He's on a date with another girl. Fuck that guy. And just the nature of this game itself. I really love this one. I'm still playing it, like I said, but I've put roughly 12 hours into it, and I've got a little bit of ways to go with just based off the chapter breaks, but I couldn't not include it and how much it just took me in from the beginning.
I'm glad you included it, and I'm glad it took you in. But that Judgment is a game I should have put on the ones I missed out on, too. I think I just shied away from it because I have tried the Yakuza games, and I know they're great. We've talked about this. It's just, I don't know, man, some of that combat, it just makes my damn fingers hurt, man. Maybe it's the good old arthritis in my arms, the arthritis. But I need to go back and play that one because I think it, from what you told me too, it is a good place to really try to start out.
Yes.
I do think it's dope that it's the same. It looks like the same exact fucking city that are in the Yakuza games that I've dealt with. So, and generally speaking, those are like smaller maps, but they're condensed, full of activity, like you say with the arcades and shit like that. I'm really glad that you addressed the Judgment though this year. This is what I love about doing the show.
Absolutely.
Even though we're out here doing our thing, you can fill in the gaps, baby. So yeah, that's dope. That is dope.
Love it. Todd, what's your number five?
Call of Duty, man. Call of Duty.
There it
man.
Is.
Call of Duty. Call of fucking Duty. Because for me, I'm going to give credit where credit is due. I've been shitting on Call of Duty for forever now. Because fuck Call of Duty. It was like, fuck Call of Duty. I'm not playing. I don't have time for it. First-person shooters, I generally shy away from, but when I find one that I enjoy, I give it its kudos. I am not good at it like that, but I do have fun with it. Like I said, the real first-person shooter, I say this shit all the time, killer in the house is the lady of the house. But also, I don't have time to sit there and just constantly focus on a Call of Duty like I would need to because I'm playing other shit. But even with that, for a gamer like me, with all that said, the campaign was amazing. It's also one of the most graphically impressive games of the year under any measure. The campaign was short, but there's scenes in there that are... It's that one for sure is one of the best ones other than probably the original Modern Warfare for me. Like the Gilly mission, I think that's what it was called.
Yeah.
I might be completely off. But yeah, nah, Call of Duty is great. Like, I'm only multiplayer. I think I'm like a level 41. And to put it in perspective, shout out to the motherfucking STT clan that I didn't even know existed. Like, I thought I was the only one. But, you know, Brandon, Bootius Bob, the hero around there, running around there being like a super motherfucking assassin, bruh. I had so much fun when we was playing last night. And then it's something like, I think my girl is like a level 84. Bootius Bob is like 102. You dig what I'm saying? But it's and my partner got on there. Shout out to Ajo Daddy. He was only a level one because he just got the game. But we got on there and had a great time. And whenever I can have an experience like memorable, first person shooters matter to me for memorable experiences with friends.
Yes.
For a big reason why people enjoy Apex Legends, like you said, it's not even about the game at a certain point. It's about having those memorable connections with people and times. Like, it's something about that type of entertainment that brings people together in a one-mindedness in a cool kind of way that I don't think I've gotten anywhere else. And I got that. I truly have that this year with Call of Duty. 100%. Like, me and my girl can get on their split screen and lose 2 hours and have a ball whether we are winning or losing. Last night, I was 4 or 5, like, an unhealthy level of glasses of wine in. And being trash, like my old lady had just had a run earlier tonight. I think she had like 32 kills and died like 6 times. I was right behind her on the next one at like 26 kills and 11. Like, and then by the end of the night, it was just we were exhausted. I was like 4 kills, 16 deaths. She was like 6 kills, 11 deaths. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
But it was a fun memory. You know what I mean? It was fun time. So, I kind of went on that one a little bit. But for gaming like that, that's important. And as much as I still in my heart of hearts want to shit on Call of Duty, they did a great job this year. I look forward to that. I'll probably play some more Call of Duty shortly. So yeah, that is my number. I don't know how to say it in Mexican.
Cinco?
There it is. Thank you, sir.
No worries. That is a game that ended up on my also run because I didn't play it enough. I had other stuff that came up, but I loved what I did play, and I do want to get back on there.
Yeah, you need to get on there with me and Bootius, man.
Yeah, yes, yes, I do. I need to go get the disc and just keep it in my living room.
Bootius is an official apostle of Bootyism.
That is 100% true. My number five was the Switch game that I played the last and still enjoyed the most, and that was Luigi's Mansion 3. Luigi's Mansion 3, getting you catch a ghost, solving the puzzles, doing the boss fights, the charming ass freaking, just everything about it, man. It was just a charming game, and I loved Luigi's Mansion 3. I talked this to death recently, so I won't continue much more on it. If you want to hear that, go listen to that previous review. But Luigi's Mansion 3 is an incredible Switch game. I love that style of play. I've been a Luigi's Mansion fan for a long time, and this one was my favorite version of that game. It was really an incredibly fun experience, and it was one of those games that I was so laser focused on once I started playing that I couldn't stop playing it. So that is my number five, Luigi's Mansion 3. Todd, what is your number four?
I'm going to keep this going, man, with the Switch real quick. I'm not going to go too far into it, though, but Astral Chains.
Yes!
As far as Asian stuff, this game was my shit. Like, it's like, I don't want to compare it because it's nothing like it, but for me, the vibe was kind of mini Death Stranding. I feel like playing Astral Chains, getting engulfed in that universe, is on a similar wavelength as Death Stranding. Death Stranding is, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
But when I think about like the ambiance, the music and everything like that, like Astral Chains kind of gave me that, and it's like a baby vibe of it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
just the music, and you know, it also had the detective aspect in it. Like, you have to research an area before moving forward, and it broke up the action. There were, you know, customization options that I thought were interesting, and it was on the Switch. I could bring it where I wanted to go, and I was completely engulfed in both settings. And it was just a personal, it was one of those games this year for me that it just stuck. And when I thought about it, when I think about just personally how much I enjoyed it, and amongst all the good games, like, I think you said it best, I'm gonna steal it right now. This has been a year of, like, I may not go back and play any of these games type. I think that's what you said.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Whereas 2018, I'm going to go back. Those are classic games forever type of games that came out. Astral Chain may be a game that I come back to.
I can dig that. I can dig that. I still need to pick that up. Just how much you loved it and how much you enjoyed it and the gameplay that I've watched of it, it's right up my alley.
And I mean, I think I'd just like to say Astral.
Yes.
Chain.
I love saying that.
Childish nature. But yeah, man, that is, I don't know how to say it in Mexican.
The cuatro.
Okay, all right, there we go.
My number four is, it could be a controversial pick because technically it's an expansion, but it was enough to add content to a game and more content than almost the base game itself for the story in this one. But my number four is Monster Hunter World Iceborne. It's Monster Hunter World Iceborne. I love Monster Hunter.
Let me tell you something you might not know about me, Joe Rogan.
It's true. It's true. I can't get away from it. They added some great story missions. They actually added more content, more map. This is a huge update to the game. This is one of the examples of, when people talk about live games, they don't talk about Monster Hunter. And Monster Hunter World is the perfect example of how you handle a live game. The content, the updates, the actual community events that they have going. And then they bring out Iceborne, which, yes, they're asking for money for it. But once you get in there, you see why. The new monsters that they add, the new elder dragons that they add, the variants on some of the original monsters that they add, the cutscenes in there where they're actually doing the introduction fights, the turf wars that they add in there when you're playing it, the actual layered armor sets that you get, the way you can customize your character even more now, the new weapons, the new master rank, all of the above. Iceborne, Monster Hunter, I've talked Monster Hunter to death throughout this entire podcast. I actually went back and listened to the first episode, and that's where we started talking about. I talk about it from episode one, Monster Hunter World. I talk about Monster Hunter World from episode one. So this is a game for me that had to be my number four. I consider it to be a controversial choice because it's technically an expansion on an existing game, but they added enough content for me to be able to justify it. And a whole new set of missions and stories. So I'm going with Monster Hunter Iceborne as my number four. Todd, what is your number three?
And your monster agrees with you. My number three is Devil May Cry 5, bitches.
Boom.
Dante. I don't know who to... I didn't mean to call people bitches just then. It just... See, that's just a tragic part of where I'm at in life, man. But anyway, Devil May Cry 5, man. They had three different characters. Two of them I didn't like. Dante was the shit. Nah, I'm just joking. Man, I can't... What... I mean, what... We already talked about this game a whole lot.
It's a video game-ass video game. In the best possible way.
Like, I don't even... Like, we did a full review on most of these games. You know what I'm saying? Already. Please go back and check them out. But yeah, man. And these... This is why this list is a lot of fun. Because we get to revisit, you know, look back and rethink our list previously, rethink the reviews previously, and see what still stands up for us. And Devil May Cry 5 easily. I mean, I still almost teeter totter it between, like, it could have been my number one game, but that's part of the fact that I just love that series a lot. And I have fond memories with that series as far as just the lore, some of the characters, and just how it ends. It was one of the more difficult but satisfying boss fight. Well, in boss fights that I had, and just overall, I think it had some probably the best well done bosses maybe this year that I fought. It was a really good game as far as that was concerned from beginning to end, and it was just so much. Like, it did start out kind of, if you want to call it slow, if you want to call a game like that slow, nothing really about the game is slow, but for me it was a little bit slow until you got to Dante, because Dante like souped up everything. Like, it just gave you so many options on how you could play it. That's another game I wish I could have been able to go back to a little bit just for replay, because it does have built-in replayability. That
yes.
Was just me lazy. Like, it really does, because there's so many different styles and way that you can beat the game. That is one I may go back to and run through again, though, you know, for sure too. Now that we're talking about it right now, but graphically, it's up there with Resident Evil 2. I mean, it's the same engine. And it's just dope. You know what I mean? Like, it's, if you could see a theme, you would find it's not too strange that Astral Chains was my previous favorite game. And then of course we're going to go with the granddaddy Mac for me in that genre, which would be Devil May Cry. I was always more on that spectrum, as opposed to like a Bayonetta or something like that. Even though I get the Bayonetta heads, you know, when it comes to this type of game play,
the Bayonetta heads.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Devil May Cry 5, man. That, I don't know, 2019, that one really stuck out, and I love it. I dig it. This one I will ask you questions on, because I don't think you fucked with this one. Was there anything in particular on this Game of the Year list, you know, did you have questions about on why it's my number three?
No, I don't, because I know you. And I know how much you love Devil May Cry. And it's a series, like, you talk about it a lot, and I love the first one, and I never really went back and messed with the ones after that to any crazy degree, but you talking about this one makes me want to play it.
Devil May Cry 3 was my shit. This one is between 3. Well, no, I got to go back. I'm tripping. I always mix up 3 and 4. Devil May Cry 5, what I was going with it, because, I mean, now I didn't let the fucking Sunday drive settle in on me again. Damn it. Shout out to Canada. Devil May Cry 5 is arguably my favorite Devil May Cry. I think it's one that might top it, but yeah. Yeah, this one has been amazing. So that is my number three, good sir. What is your number three?
Talking about boss fights, my number three is Sekiro. Sekiro Shadows Die Twice is my number three. I love this game. I think it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. The combat is amazing. Once you finally defeat a boss, the satisfaction of it, I wear it like a badge of honor. I love Sekiro. It is a wonderful experience that I will never, ever come back to. I will never come back to this game. I am, generally speaking, I like the Soulsborne series quite a bit. This was a departure from Software. New combat system, new environment. It still had the mystical elements that the Soulsborne series has. It was a little bit more grounded in reality. It was an extremely difficult experience, and I would not trade it for the world. My number three is Sekiro. I've talked this game to death. It's been talked about all year. So that is my number three. Todd, what is
your number Sekiro. Three? Fuck Sekiro. Fuck Sekiro is the most disappointing game of the year. I hate that fucking game. It's the only game that I got save gameplay right now where I'm saying, fuck this game. I don't care about this game, and you stupid fucks. Fucking in the fuck fields of fuckery.
Put in an easy mode.
Yeah, for guys that don't want to get good like me. Nah, man, I told you, bro. Like, I get it. You know, Sekiro is the shit, bro. Sekiro is the shit. That is a... And you literally turn into a motherfucking samurai when you were playing that shit. I saw the neon lights glowing around you. It was fucking amazing, bro.
I was in the zone.
You was in the zone, bro. You had become sick. Like, when you beat that game, you wore a fucking Sekiro t-shirt the next day. And I was so proud and thankful that I did not have to suffer through that shit and that you did it. Because, like, you are a fucking true hero for that this year. And you already said the kudos and thanks, but I want to say a special thank you to you, sir, for beating that game for the both of us.
Thank you.
My number two is Days Gone.
Greatness, man.
I know this isn't going to be on people's list, but for me, I was not expecting to love this game the way I did.
It won PlayStation Game of the Year.
Did it?
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, bro, it. I mean, the two critiques. It stays a little bit too long, but when I think about it and go back to it, it easily still could have been my favorite game of the year because it really, you know. But I was still driven to complete it. It still, the story was, as far as just gaming, it was just a lot of fun. And I also have fond memories in life around that game, too. Partly this year. Because it's been a weird year. 2019's been weird. I'm blessed. I'm thankful. You know, and we'll get into some other shit going on. But Days Gone, I think I needed that time. Like, I wasn't able to get lost into it like you can with the Death Stranding. You know what I'm saying? But there was a similar nature of me being able to escape into that game. And the hordes were something that I personally hadn't experienced in gaming before. The hordes were kind of worth it alone. It wasn't so fucking creepy where I was just like, I don't even want to deal with this shit, like on Resident Evil 2. Like, I don't want to deal with this. I'm too grown for that. I've suffered through this before. It wasn't that kind of creepy, but it was exhilarating. And it was kind of almost like a puzzle aspect on trying to figure out different ways to, you know, defeat the hordes. And I mean, shit, I had memorable times. Even, you know, my old lady's name is Sarah. It's fucking weird. And the fucking lady you're trying to save, or say she saved you, is named Sarah. It's a little weird, cheesy shit that's associated with it that I think is dope. But I just had a grand time with that whole thing. The scope of it, the maps weren't too big, they weren't too small. I like games like that. I can find myself getting lost and bored with and quitting early and having to come back to them. I fell into that a little bit with Far Cry 5, but I had to complete this game, and it's a game I could go back to. The bike aspect of it, just having to maintain your motorcycle, that was I think that was like a critique too, so a problem people had with it, like damn, like you got to pay attention to what's going on with your bike, you have to maintain it. But when I let it sit and going back on it, I don't remember a time where I was pissed off because my bike was fucked up or it was gone.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was a game that the way you talked about it earlier this year made me want to play it. And when you were able to entice me to want to play something, I generally know it's a great experience.
And really you personally will fuck with it. I'll put it to you this way, and I'll leave it alone because we already discussed this previously, though. Like, I wasn't surprised when I saw that on the DLC that there was a baby tank, like a BBT, that you can get on a Death Strand. I'm on that you can get on a Days Gone bike.
Right? I dig it. Yeah,
like that. It makes total and complete sense, even though they're two totally different types of games. So yeah, that's my number two.
My number two, I'm going to argue, is the reason that it is the year of Capcom. Between Monster Hunter World, Devil May Cry 5, and this game, I think Capcom killed it this year. My number two is Resident Evil 2. It's the Resident Evil 2 remake. We talked the death about this game when it first came out, and I loved it, and I still do. I will never come back to this game as well. That is just that we talked about 2019 being the year of games I'll never come back to. We'll never come back to. Resident Evil 2 is one of those games. Now the Resident Evil 3 remake, yeah, I'll play that. I'll play it and I'll beat it and I'll do what I got to do. But this is the year of that. Capcom for me with Resident Evil 2, Devil May Cry 5, Monster Hunter World, Iceborne. We talked so much about this game earlier in the year when it first dropped. Just the visuals alone, the engine. The remake itself bringing new life into the Resident Evil series, finally going back to the classic storylines and being able to bring a new generation of people and new generation of kids into the Resident Evil world and making people realize Mr. X, the boss fights, the fact that you got to play it through twice as two different characters in order to get the true ending to the game. Absolutely loved it. The puzzles, it just reminded me why I fell in love with Resident Evil to begin with. And that was the RE2 remake. So that I'm not going to talk more about that because that is it for me. Todd, what is your number one game of 2019?
I'm not going to get into this too long because it's going to seem like recency bias, but it's really not. Jedi Fallen Order, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. I want to end the list off with how I started it off and explain how I believe Disney's trying to take over. Period. I almost knocked it off just simply because of the end, and I can see how some people wouldn't like this game in some ways, in like especially content creator media world, right? But for me, with the year like we had with Anthem,
yeah,
with the way expectations are and how easy it is to fall on one side or the other of the spectrum, just for whatever weird ass reason, for a bunch of subjective reasons. Jedi Fallen Order brought it all together to me, and it proves that single player games, once again, like God of War did last year, without microtransaction beastery and all this dumb shit, it's still the best option sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, the best overall experiences can still be a good, just well-written, you know, fun game. Now, I did have a little bit of glitch issues with this game. Same thing with Days Gone. Once they patched it out, I didn't really have issues down the line. You know, that was, you know, what it was. It was all good. I didn't really have too many problems. And I just had a good time with it, man. It was a lot of pressure on this game. That game could have been really shitty. And for it to come out the way it came out, and finish, like, have a beginning, middle, and end, and I feel satisfied all the way through from every aspect. Then on top of it, I think it was the grand scope of some of the scenery on it. It's some things that's going to happen in there that I'll never forget. Like, there are some scenes from the beginning. Like, when you first walk out and look at certain areas, it's just like, okay, well, this is just amazing. This is just dope. And then you add the challenge to it. It is a challenging game. It's not, like, unforgiving like Sekiro, because you at least can lower or, you know, raise the difficulty levels. So it's not like, well, you know, good luck to you, sir. You can at least get through it on like a story mode if you need to. But for those who want a challenge of the Sekiro nature, you have that option as well. And for them to take the dude, the protagonist, still looks like motherfucking Geico Caveman to me, and that still freaked me out. But other than that, and the combat, I can see how people can have issues with it not going as far into the force as you would like, or, you know, the motherfucking lightsaber feeling like a bat sometimes or whatever. But it's so much that's great about that game that outweighs the bullshit in it. I mean, I think I personally think it deserves my personal game of the year for what I was able to play, have the desire to go through, finish, and enjoy. And Mandalorian is out, and hopefully maybe they'll put Baby Yoda in it somewhere. But yeah, man, that's my number one, man. What's your number one?
That is an excellent choice, sir. I just want to throw that out there. I love that choice. It's a game I wanted to play more of. Didn't get enough time with, and I do plan on going back to. But I can 100% see from the first hour and a half that I played why that would make your number one of the year.
One more thing about it before you get into it. It's reminiscent of a kid. This is the first game where I saw, okay, I wanted to get the double-bladed lightsaber. I literally went, you know, I stay away from walkthroughs and shit like that. Like, I actually went through a walkthrough in the early part of the game and did something that was very challenging just to get that upgrade earlier than I was supposed to. That is an example of why it became my number one game of the year. But anyway, bro, what's your number
one? I dig it. My number one game of the year is a game that was extremely divisive. Is, again, a game that I will never come back to. But when I think about the solitary, almost monk-like experience that this game brought me, the storyline itself, not necessarily the mechanics and the asynchronous multiplayer aspect to the game that was very clever and very well executed, the visuals, the entire story, it's Death Stranding. Death Stranding is my number one game of 2019. It's one of these games that, for me, when I thought about it and really considered it, what's a game from 2019 that I played that I feel will still be talked about in 10 years? And yeah, Sekiro and Resident Evil 2 maybe, but Death Stranding made such an impact and such waves, and the actual cutscenes and the story and the idea of reconnecting America and reconnecting the world and just all these little things that I absolutely loved, and the whole fact that when you really break it down, Sam Strand is not actually your main character of the story. The story is really following BB and how it connects to Sam. And it becomes a very emotional experience. And when a game wipes me out that far emotionally, I know it's had an impact. And regardless of whether or not, and you could make the argument that it's not really even a game, it's more of an experience, I think it was a big step forward in what we think of as video games themselves. So my number one is Death Stranding. You guys have heard me talk about this quite a bit throughout my playthrough of it, so I won't stay on it too much longer, but I just want to say I understand completely why people hate this game. I do. I get it. But for me, when I'm thinking about what it did for me and the way that I felt playing this game and those moments of just quiet and the music and the score, I love this game so much. I really do. But that has been our game of the year. We heard from Dewey and we heard from Ralio, but we want to hear from you. What's your favorite game of the year? So why don't you email us at skipthetutorialpodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up at STT_pod on Twitter, Instagram.com/skipthetutorialpod, Facebook.com/skipthetutorialpod. And remember, we have a tribe group on there that you can join. Todd, any final words for the people in 2019?
One child policy.
Boom. There it is. One child policy.
Nah, man. Shit. This is the last episode of 2019, right?
Yeah, this will be the last episode of 2019.
Damn, man. Damn.
This is it. Will it though? Well, yeah, it will be. And then we'll have you guys could drop
it on New Year's. Well, yeah, it will be. Damn. Well, look, man, look, it's been a beautiful year again. You already summed up. Thank you, bro. I don't want to diminish what you already said, you know, because that's what it was. I don't want to fuck it up and muddle it up. But nah, man, I just look forward to keep continuing to doing this, man, and keep fucking with the tribe. Keep
absolutely
fucking with, and you know, look forward to next year's top seven, man. But yeah,
that'll work. So as we always do, and as we sign off for the last time in 2019, stay humble.
Rumble, young man, rumble. Young or young woman, stay humble.
Stay humble.